Amen. You know, I was as I was preparing for 1 Peter, and I just never felt comfortable going into it. I was even trying to go into the Gospel of Mark for our next study. And of course, last Sunday I was at Georgetown, Calvary Chapel, Georgetown. My dear friend Pastor Bob, you know, has undergone surgery and has been out of the pulpit for a month. And so it was an honor to go up there and help him and many good friends and so forth that are there. It was a pleasure. But you know, as we, this morning, from just the verses that I read, I want to talk to you about a subject that I don't know really how to define it. I think I'll let the Holy Spirit define it for you. Is that okay? And that each of you, maybe this word this morning will speak differently to each and every one of you, those that are listening live as well, those are on the radio, whatever, wherever you are. I pray you open your ears. When you hear difficult things, don't shut down. Thank you. That's right. Now, revolution. I haven't talked about that in a while because that's the word, 2022, 2024, all the way through. We have 8 months left in this year. We have 6 months before a new president or the old president, whatever is going to happen, there's going to be a presidential election. You're getting ready to start experiencing in the next couple of months, if you haven't already, just literal toxic deception. And it's important that you are led by the Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit and be in God's Word. And yes, this is, you know, this is a beautiful day that God has given us. I'm thankful, you know, the Kona ice, whatever that is going to be out there. And then the burgers and whatever is, praise the Lord. Amen. And we could sit here this morning and we could say to ourselves, you know, Bill, really all is good. But you, and I could say, yes, all is good, but really it's not good. Okay, it's very important that we see that. And I don't want to start with a downer, but you know, the truth is we can't stick our head in the sand, okay? Man, the spirit of murder is across our nation like never before. The spirit of pride, oh, it's just engulfed our nation. And we are witnessing anti-Semitism at a new level in a nation that has forgotten God. Now, I love America, and you love America, but the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We don't want to forget God, amen? No, so America, the country we love, and we do love this nation, it's the freest nation still on earth, but America has produced an illusion that we, as a nation, we really trust in God. But that's not the reality of the nation we live in, is it? No, the reality is that we live in a nation governed by man, elected individuals, who many of those who pass legislation to give sin right in our nation. It's amazing what's happening. The Bible tells us in Psalm 9:19, "Rise, O Lord, do not let man prevail." Here it comes. "Let the nations be judged in your sight." And he says, put the nations in fear, O God." It's a prayer. He says, "O Lord, make them realize how frail the nations really are." And he says, "That the nations may know themselves to be but men." And he says, "Selah." Pause, stop, think about, meditate upon that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 10:4 that the wicked, that God is not in any of their thoughts. It also says in Psalm 10:13, it tells us that the reason that God is not in any of their thoughts is because they don't believe that they'll ever give an account unto God for what they do. But they will, won't they? This scripture here summarizes the position of our country as we are right now. And it's Psalm 12:8. It says, "The wicked prowl." That word prowl is a different kind of word in Hebrew. It goes like this. "The wicked strut around." You ever seen a banty rooster? How they kind of strut. They have that strut, don't they? And it says, the wicked, it says, they strut around on every side. But listen to when they do that. When vileness is exalted, or literally, when vileness is given an extremely high rating among the sons of men. That's where we are. Now, this morning, as I Only by the Spirit of God can I teach what I'm about to do, or any service. The 21st century church, we, loved one, we're in a war. And you say, well, Bill, what does that mean? Well, we are in a war over reality. And say that with me, the war over reality. That's the title of this sermon, the war over reality. Now, listen carefully. Satan, does he have plans? Okay, does he hate God? Does he hate the church? Absolutely. He hates everyone equally, believe me, but he really hates the Christian. Okay, now here's what Satan wants. He wants every Christian, he wants them, us, me, you, to accept Christianity as it is right now. That's a very important word. In other words, the father of all lies, loved one, he wants to do something. He wants to, not only does he want to deceive us, but what he wants to do, this war that's going on, that's happening right now, I don't hear any rockets, do you? I don't see any explosions, do you? I don't really even see any casualties. Are we living in the last days? Okay. The one who has blinded the mind of those who do not believe, they have a reality. They don't understand their reality and they would deny it. But their reality, loved one, is to live in darkness. But they don't know that. And not only do they live in darkness, the Bible says that they even love darkness. Unbeknownst to them, they love darkness. And why is that? Because the one who rocks this world to sleep, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the arms or the sway of the wicked one. Amen. He rocks unbelievers to sleep, but he shouldn't rock a Christian to sleep. Now, so the one that's silent, he's so silent. He's so subtle. He's the serpent, if you will, of old. And here's what he has done. He has slithered, and that's what snakes do, slithered into the church. And he has brought deception. In other words, what he's brought is a satanic false reality. You say, now someone may be saying, now Bill, you need to correct yourself. You mean that satanic false reality is in the world. It's certainly not in the church. We are the pillar and ground or foundation of all truth, the Bible says. Amen? But I'm not going to be critical of the fallen world. They can't help but live and walk in that false reality. Amen? Because they're natural man. They're not born from above. But we are those who believe. We are those who are born from above. And for the church to live in and walk in a false reality, for the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that's hidden upon a hill, loved one, to live in a false reality when we have the truth of God's word is sin. It's sin. And also, every Christian is without excuse. Now, whatever society consents to, agrees upon, puts into practice as normal, that is society's reality. Amen? So any nation, any people, any society, any church body, whatever, any believer, listen, if you can't discern what is true, what is right, what is not right, and what is a lie or what is false, would you say that you're in deep trouble? Okay, let me give you a scripture from the Old Testament saints from Isaiah 30, verse 10. And this is speaking about Judah. It says in Isaiah 30, 10, it says, you who say to the seers, the teachers, those who see what's going on, do not see. And to the prophets, oh, do not prophesy to us right things. Don't give us those sermons and tell us what's right. We don't want to hear it. It's what they're saying. Speak to us. You ready for this? Speak to us smooth things, comfortable things. I want to feel good. I want to live in Never Never Land. I want to feel comfortable, man. I want feel-good sermons. He says, speak to me smooth things. Prophesy deceit, or literally prophesy deceitful illusion, what is not real, what is not reality. Now, I want to read this exactly how I put it down last night. What would cause Israel of old, or even the church of today, to say this, the scripture I just quoted, to say this, or dare think like this, or even have a mindset like that? I don't want to hear God's word. I don't want to hear about the Holy One of Israel. I don't want any prophetic words being given to me, man. I just want the word, a word that's going to make me feel good. The 21st century church, again, is in a war. And here's what's happening. He wants the pulpits in our nation, in America, here, to speak smooth things to the sheep. Don't get them upset. Prophesy some deceitful things to them. Those deceitful illusions or those false realities. Now, and when that happens, what happens to the sheep? The pulpit then has just created a false reality for the sheep to live in. Okay? And not only that, they have in their heart, they're going, everything is good. There's not any problems, man, and so forth. All is good. But that's not the true reality. No. The powers of darkness want the church to abide in a false reality, literally their reality. They don't want you to abide in the true reality, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, listen, here's why that the powers of darkness don't want us to continually abide in our Lord. Let me read the scripture. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, or I am the source of life. I am the source of all the nourishment, spiritual nourishment that you will ever need in your life. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, dwells in me, lives in me, draws strength and nourishment from me. He who abides in me and I in him, listen to the result. Jesus said, you're going to bear what? Much fruit. For without me, apart from me, severed from me, without me, you can do nothing. Now listen, this is going to offend some of you, but I'm not trying to offend you, what I'm about to say. I love you, okay? But are you abiding in the vine? And I'm going to give you some things here. Because I know what Jesus produces and what Jesus doesn't produce in people. Amen? So let me give you a list of things that Jesus doesn't produce. Let me give it to you. Number one, servantless saints, loveless saints, selfish saints, gossiping saints, unforgiving saints, unrepentant saints, powerless saints, prayerless saints, churchless saints, Bible-less saints. Does Jesus produce any of those? No. Now, Satan wants the Christian, again, to accept Christianity as it is today. Fruitless. Come on. Oh, Lord, powerless. But that is a false reality that the church has settled into. Does that make sense? Now, listen, you may be going, hey, Bill, that didn't make me feel very comfortable. Good. Now, are we in a make-believe revolution? Okay. You know the scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, where Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence or is violently treated. And he goes on and he says, but the violent take it by force. Now, that's a good word, not a bad word. It's not talking about fighting or any of those things. It means Jesus is speaking of believers who seize the kingdom that they are a part of and make it their own and walk in its power, amen, and believe the word of God. In other words, that is our true reality, is the body of Christ revolving, that's revolution, revolving around the head of his church, amen, Jesus our Lord. Now, with all that being said, we have to return We have to return to our true reality every day, and we have to walk in it. And you say, well, Bill, how do we do that? Well, Jesus told us how. Let me give you the scripture. John 8:31, Jesus said this to those who believe in him. He says, if, that's a conditional thing, if you abide in my word, if you live in my word, if you believe my word, if you apply my word by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen? If you abide in my word, if you live in my word, you are, Jesus said, my disciples. And then he used another word, indeed. Man, it's the word of God, amen? And then he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you comfortable. The truth will make you complacent. The truth will always make you happy. No, the truth will make you free. That is a reality of every believer if you believe it. You have been set free, and the more that you know the word and apply the word, knowing the word is wonderful, but if you don't apply it, how do you get free? You see, that's so important. That's our true reality, and the question is it your reality? Is it this church's reality? Because, loved one, listen, the world does not define your reality. Wars and rumors of wars, they do not define your reality. Amen? Nothing, no, the government doesn't define your reality. The world certainly doesn't. Why? Well, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're citizens of another reality. Amen? Very, very important. So you need to ask yourself, loved one, this question. What or who, or say what, defines your true reality? If it isn't the word of the living God, then whatever's defining you is a false reality. You see, Jesus told us that Matthew 4:4, man shall live not by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What did Jesus tell us? He said, he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, meaning your life, okay, your family, whatever. And the rains came and the storms came and the winds came, but it didn't blow that house down because it was founded on the rock. Jesus said there, I'm quoting from Matthew 7:24 and following. Jesus said, but he who hears my word and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his life, his home, his entire being upon sand. And the same storms, same winds of life and the problems came through, and that house fell, and great was its fall, Jesus said. Amen? So what reality are we really living in, loved one? It's important for us to know. So you say, Bill, well, then how are we going to remove a false reality which comes from our thinking and what we see? How do we remove a false thinking from? Well, that's, are you at 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Let's look at it. For though we walk, or literally, though we live in the flesh, Paul says, we do not what? We don't war according to the flesh. We don't wage war against the wicked one in this world that we live in, this fallen world, with natural weapons, if you will. He says, according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of the flesh. Now, here's the thing. Here is your reality. Number one, you are in a war. Amen? Now, if you're in a war, you better find out what's true. Because if you believe what's false, you're going to be defeated, aren't you? Okay. Now, you cannot fight an invisible enemy, loved one, with carnal weapons, fleshly weapons. No plan that you come up with, no whatever you do, I don't care, human wisdom, whatever it is, you'll never defeat the wicked one or the powers of darkness, unless you do it God's way and do it the way God has supplied. Now, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty in God, mighty in God. That word really should be divine power, okay, supernatural power. What is it in 1 Corinthians 2:5, and if I can remember, we shouldn't, our faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. It says, so the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for what? For a pulling down strongholds. That word pulling down means to destroy. It means to take down, and it says strongholds, only used there in the New Testament. Now listen carefully. I want you to see something. Paul says, okay, you're in a war, but then he didn't give us a list of any of the weapons of the warfare. Did you notice that? He just said they're not carnal, man. They're mighty in God. Okay, so he didn't list them, but they're not hidden from us, which means that you have to know the Word of God and go to the Word of God and believe the Word of God to get them. Amen? Now, that's very important. Now, listen to me. This is reality, right, what I'm about to say. Our reality. We are the only people on earth because we are the only people that really believe the Bible. Amen? And only the Bible tells the Christian, number one, we are in a war. We really are in a war with darkness, the wicked one. Not only that, the Bible tells us who we are in the war with. The Bible tells us in God's Word how to win the war. And He even tells us how our enemy fights against us. His schemes and strategies and his methods of his warfare, but never forget that our enemy is defeated. Amen. Now, if you don't, you better know your enemy because he knows you. He knows you. So if you go, we don't need to go there, but you know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Amen. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. You know all those scriptures there, the whole armor of God, not your armor, God's armor. See, God's armor will never fail you. And you can go to Ephesians 6 and read all that and put all of those things on, especially verse 16 where it says, especially that above all things, take up the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. Boy, that's so important. So the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God. They're supernatural for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the stronghold here is used as a metaphor, if you will. And the word literally is a fortress, but metaphorically, Paul is speaking, okay? Or we should say the Holy Spirit is using a metaphor. Because what he is saying here is that in context, when it says strongholds, it's talking about wrong thinking, because Paul is going against the false teachers, remember? Wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, a wrong reality, things that are not true. So what are our weapons for? Pulling down what? Pulling down strongholds. So here, wrong thoughts, wrong thinking that contradict the living, true Word of God. Amen? In other words, we're to think like our Lord, man. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So wrong thoughts. Now listen carefully. A stronghold is nothing more, and it's your mind. A stronghold is nothing more than a house made of thoughts. Okay? And you think this, and you think this, and you think this. I think I told you the story many years ago. You know, I don't remember. But anyway, here's how it works. You know the Word of God, and all of a sudden a lie comes in. Amen? Okay. Now, if that lie stays there, that's just one little rope, if you will, one little string. And it's not, you can pull that down. You can get rid of it. You cast it away, no big deal. But if you let it stay there, it's still a string. That thought is a string. Does that make sense? But let's get another lie that wraps around that string, a lie from the devil, and then another lie, and it wraps around it, and then all of a sudden it gets stronger and stronger, and it becomes a stronghold in your life. Does that make sense? Fear can be a horrible stronghold, loved one. Listen, so here, the Bible says about these strongholds, it says in Proverbs 21:22, a wise man scales the city, or of the wise man climbs over the wall of the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. So pulling down a stronghold, and I'm going to be repetitious again, is destroying any type of thinking that exalts itself above the Word of God. Amen? And that is hostile to the Word of God. Paul was, again, he was pulling down false doctrine, a doctrine of demons. Why? Because the false teachers who are ministers of the devil, they wanted to shape the thinking and the reality of the sheep and give them a false reality. Does that make sense? And that's what he wants to do. Now listen, I will never pull down one stronghold that Satan tries to put on you, man, if you don't know the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. You have to believe the Word of God. And if you don't, you'll never do what it says in verse 5. You'll never cast down these arguments. Look at it. Continually demolishing arguments. The King James says imaginations, which means literally false doctrine, false reasonings, anything that exalts itself against God. And every high thing, meaning every elevated thing, every puffed up thing, every proud thing, everything that does something, look what it does, exalts itself against, in other words, in defiance. It says against the knowledge of God, or I should say the true knowledge of God. So again, any type of thinking that exalts itself above the Word of God. Satan doesn't want you to think like the Word. He wants you to think like he thinks, that God doesn't love you and all the rest of it. You know what I'm saying? We have to be so careful. Now listen, I'm going to do this again. Listen carefully. Does this thinking exalt itself above the God? Let me read this again. Does this thinking exalt oneself above the Word of God? Let me give it to you again. Here it is. Servantless saints, loveless saints, selfish saints, gossiping saints, unforgiving saints, unrepentant, powerless saints, prayerless saints, churchless, online only saints. Some people, now listen, if that was you, I know that some are shut-ins, they're not able. But those that are able, you need to be in church. Now, or I could add more, giftless Christians, I just don't have a gift. Oh, you've just exalted yourself above the Word of God. No longer ambassadors for Christ, no longer fishers of men. Listen to me now, that is a false reality. Do you understand? But I say this with love, is that maybe the condition of a lot of the churches today? Oh, loved one, listen to me. What does that mean? See, that false reality means this. Satan has gained control, and the believer, the church, has walked out of God's true reality into a false reality. And it's not God's. It's not yours. And you know what you find in that spiritual darkness? Let me give you the scripture. We studied it in James 3:16. For where there is envy, self-seeking exists, confusion, every evil thing are there. Every evil thing are there. So verse 5, look at it again. Bringing every what? Say that. Thought. Let's say it again. Thought. Very important word. Bringing every thought, what you think in your mind, loved one, what you say in your home, that your words that come out of your mouth, every thought, this is bringing them into captivity. And look what it says, oh, to the obedience of Christ, making it obey. Listen, what a word for the 21st century church. Here's what Paul says through the Holy Spirit. He says, you capture every thought, and then here, meaning you capture every false thought, every lie, and you capture it and you take it into captivity. Think about that. What is that word captivity? What does he mean? He means you take lies and you say, you are going to be a prisoner now. I'm not your prisoner. You're my prisoner. I'm taking you into captivity. I'm going to capture every false thought, which is a lie, with the Word of God. Why? For the Word of God, loved one, listen, it is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll slice a lie into hundreds of pieces. Amen? And that's what you must do. Now listen, why? Satan knows this, that he knows that he can, in a sense, and I use this, I don't know another way to put it. He knows that he can capture a mind. He knows that he can capture someone's thinking. He knows that he can capture a person's reality, okay? And or at least he can get part of that. See, why? If your thinking your thinking, your daily, what you do in your life, if it is not coming from a renewed mind, he can feed thoughts to you that are lies. Do you understand me? We have to wake up now. The church has to wake up. Oh, listen, we need to feed our mind the Word of God every day. See, Satan knows this scripture, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh, so he is. Amen? As he thinks. In other words, the essence of the thinking life or the thoughts that you have, literally, you're the product of your thought life. Amen? Okay, now, thoughts contain words. You have words which are true and words which are lie. So again, a stronghold is a house that is built on thinking or thoughts, and God, like, for God doesn't love me. God will never answer my prayer. Heaven really isn't my home. I'm not really saved. My husband doesn't really love me. My wife doesn't. Do you understand? He's a liar. He can never tell you the truth. Your thoughts need to line up with God's word. If God says it, it is truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Now listen to me. If you don't destroy strongholds, satanic strongholds, if you don't pull down those lies, loved one, if you don't close the door, there's a possibility they can start operating in your mind. Verse 6. And being ready. Now that means be every day in the state of readiness, okay, to punish all disobedience. In other words, I'm not going to believe the lies of the devil. I'm going to renew my mind to the Word of God, and whatever God says, that's what I want to operate in my mind. Amen? I don't want him to control my thinking or shape my thinking, and that's what he wants to do, nor am I going to let my mind and my thinking be conformed to this world. Amen? Now, so being ready to punish all disobedience. Now, when does it happen, though? Look at it. When your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you're fully committed to what we've just learned right here, building our lives in obedience in the true reality. So you're either going to be, I'm either going to be obedient to this, or we're going to be disobedient to this. Now, 8 months left. We're in a war. Now, listen carefully. I want to follow my notes because they're fresh, okay? I haven't time to meditate on this. Satan wants to define especially the American church, okay, the 21st century American church. Now, I'm going to say this. Now, listen to me now. I say this with tenderness. Satan wants to define the reality of the 21st century American church, and many Christians are helping him do just that. Satan wants, the powers of darkness want the Christian. They want you to help them. They want you to help promote the kingdom of darkness. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. And what I say to you right now, I say with all the love of God that's in my heart. No judgment, but listen carefully. You, me, we cannot pull down any stronghold that we are participating in. Are you listening to me? The church is in trouble. Please. We can't do one thing against darkness if we're participating in it. It is an impossibility, loved one. Listen to me. You must remove everything that in your walk, that where you step out and now you're defending not light, you're defending darkness. You got to step away from that, even though you say, I didn't know I was doing that. Okay, well, learn and don't do it. Amen? We can't defend darkness. For example, let me give you this. I just say it with love now. The Christian who sows discord, if that's you, if you're listening on the radio, all the different stations I'm on, I want you to listen to me now. If you, Christian, are one who sows discord among the brethren, you work for the devil. You're his puppet. Oh, he loves Christian puppets. Oh, he loves to say, oh, I can go get Sister Susie. And if your name's Susie, I'm just using that, okay? Or Sister Bob or whatever. Oh, they're so easy. If you're over there, I'm not calling anybody out. No, but listen, what happens is that you not only start working for him, whether you know it or not, and not only that, you're defending him. You're defending the wicked one. How? Because now you're doing something that he wants you to do. You now are exalted yourself above the living word of God. For God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Are you following me? Listen, that is so, so important. And what you have to do, you have to, if you're going to walk in the light, you're going to have to expose it and say, we're going to expose the sin that God hates because I will not stand in a false reality. Are y'all following me? Very, very important. You cannot pull down any strongholds, loved one, that you are participating in. And there is a stronghold now that's in the church. It's not going to leave until Jesus takes us out of here. It's the saddest one of all, the one that hurts me more than any of them. And that is the stronghold of cold love that's in the church today. And it is growing. Do you understand? Let me give you the scripture. He warned us in the last days here. He says, in Matthew 24:10, Jesus said, then many will be offended. He's talking about believers, people that are in the church. Many are going to be offended. Oh, they're going to betray one another. They're going to hate one another. Oh, and false prophets are going to rise up, deceive many. Here it comes. And because lawlessness will abound. In other words, where sin is rampant, it's all over our nation. It's even practiced in the church. It says, the love of many. That word is not used of the world. The word love is agape. It is only used of the Christian. Do you hear me? Only used in the church. It says, and the love of many. Many. Not just a couple. Not a few. The love of many. The majority, it says, those that profess their faith in Christ, it says, will grow cold. Listen, if you've been a Christian any amount of time, you know as well as I know, it doesn't take much to offend a Christian today. Come on. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yeah, come on. I mean, I can look at people the wrong way. I am leaving the church. Well, praise God. It doesn't take much today for I see it all over, for Christians to betray one another and then even hate one another. And you know why? Because the love of self and the love of wickedness today is greater in the church than we have love for one another. And that's where we are. I don't want that reality. I'm not going to live in that reality. So, you see, the love of many will grow cold. It's gradual, but it's here. And see, cold love hates. Cold love betrays. Cold love doesn't care. Cold love never, never, never seeks oneness. It only destroys oneness. Cold love is bitter. And here are the characteristics that are in the church today. We don't want them here, these characteristics. We want the true reality, amen? We want God's reality, not the darkness and not Satan's reality that he wants us to walk in. Let me give you the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:1, but know this, Paul says, in the last days, we are living in the last days, and he says, perilous times will come. That means it's certain, will come. It's a fact, and it's here. Perilous times means savage times, fierce times, times that are just unbelievable. And it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is that in the church today?
Yes.
Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You look good on the outside, but there's no power on the inside. And what does Paul, the one who he doesn't practice tolerance, what does he say? From such people, turn away. What people, Paul? Those that are in the church those that are living in that kind of reality. They go to church every Sunday. And he says, no, you stay away from them because their lives, they may say it, but their lives deny that they belong to Jesus. Loved one, listen, you cannot pull down any stronghold that you are participating in. You can't do it. In other words, the Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's 6:17, I'm probably wrong. You know I'm right, 6:17. God hates a lying tongue. He hates it. Do you hate a lying tongue? Boy, listen, you know, I tell you, Christian, you need to run from people who are gossipers. You need to run from people that slander. Why? Because do you know the most dangerous Christian in the church is a gossiper? Oh, listen, they're like the devil's puppet. He's working, uses them. He loves it. You know, listen, someone put it this way. The most dangerous liars are those who think they're telling the truth. They really believe it. But what they say is not true. And the father of lies, the devil, oh, he loves to use believers to do that, to walk in a reality that is not theirs, to leave light and walk in darkness. Listen, you want to know what your true reality is? Let me tell you who you really are. Some Christians need to get out of the closet, okay? You know what I mean? You stop being a closet Christian and get out. So they say, well, because some Christians, I have to say, well, who stole your identity? You know what I mean? Somebody's stolen who you are because you are a new creation now. Amen? Now, listen, I want you to ask yourself before we're getting ready to celebrate communion in just a little bit, but listen to me now. I want you to ask yourself today, who really controls your reality? Who really controls your reality? Is it heaven? If it's heaven, then that's God's truth. Is it hell? Well, then that's Satan's lies. No. You know who you are in Christ? In a moment, you're going to have the bread. You're going to have the cup. We're going to sing and worship the Lord and all those things. Do you know that in Christ Jesus, loved one, I want you to listen to me now. Your sin, your shame, no matter what the lying devil may tell you, your sin, your shame, your guilt, because you are in Christ, it is far as the east is from the west. Amen? You need to put that in your bank account. Jesus said, whoever believes in me and believes in him who sent me, you know what Jesus said? He says, we'll never come into judgment, never come into the judgment, never come into the judgment because you believe in Jesus, never come into the judgment. Why? Well, because you've passed out of life, death into life. That's what Jesus tells us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things have passed away. That's who you are. Romans 8:1, when somebody, you know, you say, I'm going to stand before the judgment. Yeah, not the judgment, but the Bema Seat judgment. Amen. Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. No judgment. No judgment. You're justified. That's imputation. Remember the doctrine to where the perfect righteousness of Christ has now been put into your account. And when God sees you, he sees you in Christ. He sees you perfect. That's who you are. And that's who you need to be and walk in. I don't know about you, and I don't say these things right here with any pride, but with true humility and thankfulness. Listen, I'm blessed. No, that's who you are. You right now, I don't care what the devil may say, and if you think you're not blessed, you don't believe the word of God. Listen, Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Amen. Every blessing is yours. You've been pronounced blessed. And matter of fact, you know what? God only blessed you. He chose you. He chose you. And he doesn't choose failures. He takes failures and makes them saints. Amen? If you see, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know that you're blessed, if you don't know that you were chosen in Christ Jesus before time began, if you don't have one clue, loved one, that not only did he choose you, he adopted you. Read the book of Ephesians. You're adopted. He wants you. Not only that, did he adopt you, you're accepted in the beloved, meaning that God loves you just as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have been redeemed. We are forgiven. We are, what is it, Ephesians 2:6? No, let's go back. Ephesians 1:13 following. Listen, we have been given the Holy Spirit. Amen? How long? Who is our guarantee? Until the very day of what? Redemption. Until the moment that we go home. Ephesians 2:6 says that we are seated with Christ Jesus right now, right this minute. That's our position in the heavenlies, up there in heaven with him. And not only that, no matter what the devil tells you, don't walk in a false reality, walk in a true reality. Listen, I can be confident of this, that God is working in me. Amen? I'm confident. He's working in you. He's going to make it happen. He's going to complete the transaction. You won't. He will. See, you've got, we have to say, no, I'm not walking in that reality. I don't gossip. I don't cut people down. I do, God says it. That's my reality. And when I walk in that reality, I walk in the power of Almighty God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. His children, loved one. Oh, the love of God. Man, listen. God, our Father. Here's a true reality. Here's a godly reality. God, our Father, is able, Ephesians 3:20, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that is working in your life right now. And not only that, we have to have that when things come against us and the devil says, see, look what's going on now. No, my Bible says this, devil. Well, number one, it says you're defeated and I don't talk to you, okay? It says all things work together for good to those that love God and are called of God. No matter what happens, no matter where you are on this earth, you can move to another state and you're still more than a conqueror. Do you understand? You can go any place on this and put your feet on any place on this earth, and you are more than a conqueror through him who loved us and gave himself for it. Do you understand? That is your reality. Why would we want to harm each other when we are family? That's what he wants. The months that are left, you watch the attacks that are coming. This is a preparation to prevent that happening in your life. That's why the Lord is giving me this word right here. Listen, I don't know about you. I have the God of all comfort who comforts me in all my tribulations. And not only that, Jesus is my peace and your peace. Amen? My peace, Jesus said, I give unto you. Not as the world gives. The world can't give you peace. But I give my peace to you. Oh, listen. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our peace. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our guide. He's the Spirit of truth. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, thanks be unto God, our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who always leads us in victory. Amen? Do you believe that? Well, so if you're having a hard day, are you going to come over to this reality and say, okay, everything's falling apart? Nothing falls apart if you belong to God. Everything is falling into place. Do you understand that? You're going to have this in your heart, loved one, because we're going to have to finish strong these last few months of this year. Would you make this your reality? Paul said, I beseech you, therefore. I beg, he's begging that you work, that you walk worthy of the calling which you are called. Now, you know what that word worthy means in Ephesians 4:1. You've seen me do it a million times, remember? Worthy is a picture of a set of what? Scales. Oh, you well-taught church. Over here's a scale, here's one. And then you put 5 pounds here and 5 pounds here. Are they balanced? But if you put 1 pound here and 5 pounds here, are they balanced? No, you cannot have a balanced walk. You cannot walk in the reality that God wants you to walk in unless you walk worthy. What does that mean? Equal in doctrine and equal in practice or application. Now you're balanced. You can know all the doctrine in the world, but if you don't do it, you're not balanced. Listen, a scripture that came to my last night. It's so cool. And let me read it to you. It's Psalm 29:9, the last part of it. Pardon me. And it says this as a, let me read it to you. In his temple, meaning God, in his temple, everyone says glory. Everyone, now listen, say that word, glory. Everyone in his temple says glory. Say it one more time, glory. One day, we're all going to be there. And you know what we're going to say? Glory. Praise the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. 8 months left this year. Two more things. Number one, we have to relearn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God again. Sensitive to him. I'm going to give you an example. I wasn't planning on doing this, but the Lord just brought it up. I was so grieved. I don't know if it was Thursday or Wednesday. I don't know what it was. I had to go to our accountant that does everything for the church. And Becky, she's with me. So it's in Watauga. We go and we're driving. And I pull into the driveway and there's a girl, maybe 16, 17 years old, walking. And I pull into the concrete and look at her. She didn't have any clothes on. Oh, she's covered from here up, but that's it. And my heart broke. I drove quickly. It was just a few feet, and Becky just had to drop this off, and I came back because I was going to go get her, but I couldn't find her. And you know why I couldn't find her? Let me stop right there. I even went to the Watauga police, their files, and all their arrests to see maybe was there a nude person arrested, so to know that she was safe. Are you listening to me? I mean, there was 15 arrests in 24 hours in Watauga. 15 pages. Rape, murder. I'm going, you got to be kidding. But it's right down the street. And I didn't see anything like that. And all day I was grieved. I was weeping almost. And you know why? I was sensitive to the Spirit of God, but I didn't stop. I said, I'll come back. And I missed it. I was going to put her in our car, and I was going to take her someplace. And I failed because I wasn't sensitive enough. You must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And the next thing we have to do, all the time, but especially these last 8 months, we must, if you want to be the church powerful, which we are, and we can be, then we must walk in agreement with God. Did you hear me? We must walk in. How can two walk together if they're not in agreement? The Bible says. What does that mean? It means it's Lord, your will be done in heaven as it in down here on this planet. Amen? The Lord's Prayer, where we are in agreement with God, doing what he wants us to do, and we stay in the true reality. There's a war right now, and you are in that war, and so am I. As they come and they get ready to pass Jesse and them, wherever you guys are. And I'm going to be praying as they come to the stage. We're getting ready to celebrate communion. Let me ask you a question. And did it make any sense? Did I sound like a madman? Okay. Father, thank you for this word. Now, we by your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to practice our true reality. We want to walk in it. We want to live it. And Lord God, we're not going to be a puppet of the devil, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we're not going to let that happen on our watch, Lord. So help us now. And Father, as we're about now to celebrate your table, two ordinances of the church today, baptism and the Lord's table. How wonderful. Father, if we sin by word, deed, thought, or action, grieve, quenched, vexed the Holy Spirit, made him sad in any way, we repent. We run to the throne of grace. And Lord, maybe some of us here, you are a gossiper. It's time to stop now. Maybe you're sowing discord. Oh, you better stop that right now. You better repent of that. God hates those things. Get your heart clean. Examine your hearts, all of us. For we are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And we are about to celebrate his table. We ask it, we believe it, in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. The Lord, in his word, he says, let a man examine himself. We look within. And after he has done so, then let him partake of the bread and of the cup. And that's what I know we've already done. But Jesus, it says, as we look back, it says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he died for you and he died for me. I'm thankful that he took the punishment that I deserved. Amen? He took the wrath that I deserved. He took my sin. He took your sin. He took your place. He took my place. And I give him praise. Because as I always say, we're no longer a broken people. Amen? No, not at all. So, Father, as we hold the bread in our hand, as your family, as the family of God, Father, right now, we partake in all that we do in remembrance of you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Now, there we go. Sorry. He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm thankful that, as I say all the time, this cup is the last sacrifice. It represents the last sacrifice. Amen. Jesus said, "It is finished." We have not been redeemed with silver and gold, those aimless, empty things, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. We are his purchased possession. As I said earlier, our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And if we confess our sins, it says that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are a people, the only people of the new covenant. Amen. The promises are complete. The promises will never fail. Jesus will never fail you. Never. No, and don't let that reality, that's a false reality to think that he has failed you or will ever fail you. He'll never relax his hold upon you. And not only that, he's coming. He's coming again. You know, we're not the people say, "Well, where is this coming? It's all these, you know, years and years." No, we know he's coming. And we know why. You see, it says, the Bible, what did Jesus say? He says, "I am leaving." He said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't fall apart." He says, "You believe in me, believe in my Father also." He says, "In my Father's house, many, many mansions, and I go, I'm leaving." That was right before his death. He said, "I'm going, man, to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." He's coming. No, he's coming. See, that is a reality. We're the only people on earth that know that. The Christian, he's coming. He's coming for his people, for his church. What did the disciples say right after that? Jesus said, and he said to them, brother, to his disciples, he says, "And you know the way. You know the way. You know where I'm going." Jesus said, "You know the way. And you know what? We do. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him." We are the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for all of our sins are washed away. Thank you, Lord, for this cup. We partake now as a family, your family, and all that we do in remembrance of our Savior. In Jesus' name, let us partake. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? If you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you. I hope I see you at the festival. And, you know what's really wonderful? You know, for 32 years, the deacons have always given me my communion on a paper cup, on paper plate. And so, see, isn't that pretty? Yeah, Marshall made that for me. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? And it says, "To the best pastor in Fort Worth." Wherever you are, I don't know where he said it. Should have said that. No, I'm just joking. But it's made out of acacia wood, you know? It's so beautiful, handmade. And that thrilled me. I'm so blessed when it blessed me. And you bless me. Amen. Listen, let's have a wonderful spring festival. Let's just love one another. Let's have fun. Let's talk, fellowship. Bring, if, you know, your first service, don't forget to bring your lawn chairs or whatever it is so you have a place to sit. And I'm thankful for this day. Amen. I'm thankful for the word that the Lord gave me to change and not go into 1 Peter yet. Do you follow me? I'm thankful for that because it gives me a balance to look down the road and say, my, what are these last 8 months going to hold? Tell me. And he always tells us to protect us. Amen? So God is good. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all those that are here this morning. Bless them, Lord, as you already have. Bless their homes. Let their homes be filled with your reality, Father, with your peace. That's your reality, Lord, with your love and your goodness, and keep them. And Lord, again, thank you for holding the rain now that you sent it away and giving us that perfect day. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.